All right, this morning, the text of for my sermon is taken from Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. So if you have the Bible, please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel 37, chapter 37. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 14. Is everyone there? Ezekiel 37? All right, sure. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to this bone and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to this bone, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and your breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and I breathed into them, breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are of the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened the grave, O people, and brought you up from your grave. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and perform it, says the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you once again for this passage from Ezekiel 37. Lord, it's a prophetic verse, prophetic passage, and we want to understand, Father, your leading and your word on this matter. So I pray, Father, Lord, that you will use your servant to speak your word in a powerful way with clarity and with your authority and power. And I pray, Lord, your people will have a hearing ear and a receptive heart, that they may receive this word and that they will be rejuvenated, they'll be recharged, and that, Lord, they'll be revived. Lord, today is Resurrection Sunday. I just pray for the anointings, a special touch and anointing to come upon your people, to encourage them, to challenge them, and so that they can experience your resurrection power. And so this morning, we are here to glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, take the word and illuminate it and set it on fire for the glory of our Father. So come and glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. As I said, today we come here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I would like to speak on the subject of resurrection. Now, first thing is Christ's resurrection is a main tenet of our Christian faith. The resurrection of Christ distinguishes Christianity completely from all other religion. Founders of all other religions are dead. Whether it's Muhammad, whether it's Buddha or any other founders, they are all dead and buried. But Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day. And Jesus received a glorified body, lived forevermore and never to die again. And death and hell could not hold him down. And it shows that Jesus is the Son of God. And in John chapter 11, verse 25, it says that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And because Jesus was resurrected, we as believers in Christ Jesus, though we may die, but in the future, we will be resurrected with a glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus. A glorified body without sin, without sickness, and can never die again. And this future resurrection of all believers in Christ is not a wishful thinking, but an absolute certainty. We call it a blessed hope. And this is God's promise. And God is not a person that he would lie. And so God intends for us to experience resurrection power in our present situation. Not just for our future life, but also in our present situation. So for example, in the gospel, there were at least three people to experience Jesus' resurrection power. Jairus' daughter, a widow's son, and Lazarus, they were all raised from the dead. And today I want to speak of a nation that experienced the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus. And since I'm on a series of sermon called What Related to Israel, and today I'm in the part two of my sermon, I'm going to speak about the death and resurrection of Israel in what they call illustrate the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday. And the text, as you know, is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37. And 37 verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And in this passage, the prophet Ezekiel, he was transported in a vision to a valley full of dry bones. And the scene was very scary and gruesome. In a graveyard full of bones. And there was total absence of life in this valley. What was this prophecy all about? It is about Israel. And about 600 years before the time of Jesus, God was prophesying to Ezekiel that Israel would go through a death experience as a nation. And this came to fulfillment in the year AD 70, when the Israelites tried to rebel against the Roman colonial master. Titus, the Roman general, led an army to besiege the city and later crushed the Jewish rebellion, destroyed the city and its temple. They slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jewish inhabitants and dispersed a number of them abroad. But this tragedy failed to quell the rebellious spirit of the Jews. And so 52 years later, they rose up in rebellion once again in a well-organized guerrilla campaign that lasted 3 years. And this revolt proved to be the last straw for the Romans. And so the Roman emperor responded brutally. They sent troops to totally decimate the Jews. And this time, about 580,000 Jews were killed. And about 50 fortified towns and over 900 over villages were razed to the ground. And those who were not killed were sold into slavery and dispersed worldwide. And the Israelites lost their homeland totally. Though God gave the Israelites the promised land of Canaan for perpetuity, he stipulated that their possession and enjoyment of this land was dependent upon their obedience. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God warned Israel that as a privileged and chosen nation, there is an abundant blessing for obedience, but also severe judgment for disobedience. And so if Israel obey the Lord and his commandment, the nation will be richly blessed. But if Israel forsake and disobey the Lord, then the God Almighty will judge them severely. So foreign enemies would conquer them, evict, and disperse them worldwide. Unfortunately, Israel's establishment rejected Jesus and forsook the Lord. The Romans and all the other nations were the instrument that God used to mete out his judgment against Israel. And so in AD 70, the Jews were evicted from the land and they were dispersed worldwide. And so in the period of 1,800 years from that AD 70, Israel experienced death in three areas. The first area is death of their homeland, desolation of their homeland. And after the Jews was evicted, the name of their homeland, Israel and Judah, were removed. And the Roman emperor changed the name of their homeland from Judah to Syria, Palestine. And over a period of 1,800 years, different foreign powers conquered the land. And they all exploited and plundered the land until it became utterly desolated. Millions of trees were cut down. Topsoil were eroded, and excessive sedimentation in the valley resulted in waterlogging and the creation of swamp. And with swamp came the outbreak of malaria and led the people to abandon the villages and the cultivated land. And the land became sterile wasteland during the 1,800 years when the Jews were in exile. No one really desired the land and became a dead, deserted wasteland. And Jerusalem became an incubator of disease. And so the second death is a progressive death of the pure Hebrew language while they were in exile. And by the end of the Middle Ages, there were four major groups of Jews in dispersion in Central and East Europe, and then in Portugal and Spain, in Persia, and then the last group in the Arabian nations. And each of these groups lived in isolation from each other over the years, and they each developed their distinctive form of dress, worship, and language. And the original pure Hebrew language became the language of the synagogue service only. And because it ceased to be spoken, rather, in daily conversation in the family and among the community where they live. And while they lived for about 1,800 years, they spoke and they speak a mixed and adulterated Hebrew language. So, for example, those who live in Germany combine German with Hebrew to produce a language called Yiddish. And those living in Spain combine Spanish with Hebrew to produce the Ladino, so on and so forth. And so, after over 1,800 years, in their worldwide dispersion, the original Hebrew language is dying of a gradual death. It was not spoken as a daily conversational language. And Hebrew became only confined to the synagogue for Torah reading. That means the reading of the law of Moses. And by the early 20th century, most Jews could not understand Torah reading in pure Hebrew. And they do not understand what was spoken in the religious synagogue service. And for them, it was like the Gentile Catholics attending a Catholic mass conducted in Latin. And so the third area was the death as a nation of people in their worldwide dispersion. No longer are the Jews a nation of people living in their own country. Wherever they went, they were relentlessly and severely persecuted. And the Bible already warned the chosen people of Israel the very severe punishment they would face if they forsook the law and forsook the lot and disobeyed the commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 65 to verse 68 says, "And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot find a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and an anguish of soul. And your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Oh, that it were evening.' And in the evening you shall say, 'Oh, that it were morning.' Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ship, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slave. But no one will buy you." So tragically, all these severe warnings and prophecy came to pass on the Jewish people because of their stiff-necked rebellion against God. And so wherever they were, they experienced relentless persecution. Even more tragic is the fact that the persecution came from the professing Christian who were advocate of what came to be known as replacement theology. And so for 2,000 years, the church at large, both the Catholic and the Protestant, has maintained that because the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah, God poured out his wrath on them in year AD 70, destroying the nation and the people. From then, God then has rejected them, leaving them with no purpose whatsoever as a nation. In short, because of their rebellion against God, God has replaced Israel with the church, transferring the blessing promised to Israel to the church. This is called replacement theology. Now, I will talk about this in another sermon, but suffice to say, this is not the right theology. The roots of replacement theology and its roots of anti-Semitism go back to the early history of Christianity. What is ironic is that the roots of the church was Jewish in origin. It was founded by Jews who were the followers of the Jewish Messiah. And all the 66 books of the Holy Bible was written by the Jews, except for two books written by Luke. And even Luke was a ghostwriter to a Jewish writer. And so, how did this anti-Semitism mindset get started? Sadly, some early church fathers and theologians sowed the seeds of discord from the 2nd to the 4th century. And theologians like Tertullian, Origen, and then John Chrysostom, and some others had the teaching that were very anti-Jews. And this teaching had great influence on the kings and the politicians over the different periods of history. And so over time, kings and politicians exploited and translated this teaching into an anti-Jewish policy. And there are three generic anti-Jewish policy. First is a forced conversion of the Jews. Second is expulsion. And third is annihilation. And the second appear as an alternative to the first. That means if the Jews did not convert from Judaism to a state religion, they would be expelled from the land they were living in. And over the time, the third alternative eventually replaced the second alternative. It means that if Jews chose not to convert to Judaism, from Judaism to a state religion, they would face the death penalty. And so some examples, for example, the Crusaders from the 11th to the 13th century, in their war to take control of the Holy Land from the Muslim, they instigated the persecution of the Jews. And during the Middle Ages, the massacre of the Jewish community, they massacred them along the way from Europe to the Holy Land of Israel, and also from Israel back to Europe. And then when coming to the 15th and the 16th century, we have the Spanish Inquisition. Spain was the dominant, what you call, power in Europe. And the Spanish king launched a Spanish Inquisition to investigate Jews they believe who had made false conversion to Christianity. And Jewish people were also accused of subversion. And through an edict of expulsion, they gave the Jews 4 months to convert to Christianity, or they have to leave the country. And if they do not leave the country, they would be brutally tortured, executed, and burned at the stake. And the third persecution, severe and relentless, was the Holocaust during World War II. And long before the Holocaust, even the great reformer Martin Luther was anti-Jew. And initially, he was sympathetic towards the Jew. But later, Martin Luther turned against the Jews in his teaching and preaching because the Jews did not accept Christianity. And so the atrocity reached its worst during the period of the World War II period in Germany. And politicians like Hitler learned to exploit the teaching of Luther and others to accomplish their evil agenda against the Jew. And so the Nazi Holocaust period in World War II, 1939 to 45, resulted in the death of 6 million Jews, including 1.5 million children. Some unofficial estimate put the Mexican figure at 8 million rather than 6. And so in summary, Suffice to say that everywhere the Jews went, they were being relentlessly persecuted and brought to the brim of extinction over the 1,800 years. And so we witnessed the death in three areas. Death of a homeland, death of the original Hebrew language, and death of a nation of people in their worldwide dispersion. And so coming back to Ezekiel prophecy, we can see why the prophet Ezekiel was brought to a grave and a valley full of dry human bones. Like unburied skeletons, the Israelites then were in a state of death, scattered all over like dry dead bones without hope, future, or homeland. In fact, if you read verse 2 carefully, God led Ezekiel to inspect these dry bones. And after inspection, after inspecting this gloomy, hopeless, dead, dry bone, in verse 3, the Lord asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Any human suggestion that bones could come to life again would be absurd. And Ezekiel did not know. And so he replied, "Lord God, you know." And God instructed Ezekiel. He said, "Prophesy to this bone. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to this bone, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." And so Ezekiel obeyed God's command and prophesied. And as he prophesied, there was a sudden noise and rattling. And the bones came together, bones to bone. And the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. Now, this is a picture. This picture of the countless dry bone being brought back together as a coherent body was a prophetic picture of Israel being restored to their homeland. And this prophecy came to pass in 1947 and 1948. And God orchestrated a miracle of resurrection. And in 1947, the United Nations passed a resolution calling for Palestine to be partitioned between the Arabs and the Jews, allowing for the formation of the Jewish state. And on May the 14th, 1948, the Jewish state of Israel was birthed and resurrected. And millions of Jews returned and were regathered from worldwide dispersion. And the United States of America, the superpower, was the first nation to recognize this nation. And since 1948, many more millions of Israelites have returned to their homeland, and it has now a population of 9 million people. And then second thing is, concurrently, in the early 1900s, the Hebrew language was being restored and resurrected. And God raised up a man called Ben Yehuda to revive Hebrew as a spoken language. And Yehuda encountered many hindrances along the way to reintroduce the Hebrew language. To cut the long story short, after many decades, he painfully overcame one obstacle after another. And Hebrew eventually became the common and official language of the Jews in 1948. And next, third era, the desolate land was also rejuvenated and revived again. Remember, over the 1,800 years the Jews were in exile, the land became desolated. And after the Jews returned to their homeland, they put huge effort in draining the swamp, began replanting to reforest the land, developed elaborate irrigation system to rejuvenate the land, and within decades, Israel became the bread and the football of the Middle East. The nation is now agriculturally self-sufficient except for some grain imports. And it exports agriculture produce to both the Middle East and some other nations of the world. And so the prophecy in Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 41 that Israel land will be fruitful again has come to pass. It says that the Israel desolate land will be cultivated. The land will become like the Garden of Eden. The waste, desolated, and ruined city will be fortified and inhabited again. And these are the situations which appear to be totally hopeless to a natural man. What is impossible to man is possible to our supernatural God. And today is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. And praise God that in the future we are all going to be resurrected again with a glorified body that never dies, has no sin and sicknesses. And let us now draw application. Enough of history. Let us draw application from this resurrected, nation and also resurrected Christ for our present situation. Now we can experience resurrection power in some of our dire situation. And some of you are facing dire and similarly hopeless situation. Dire and hopeless situation in your relationship, your finances, sicknesses, job, business, church ministry, and whatever. If God can resurrect a nation, God can resurrect your hopeless and dire situation. And in the gospel, it was recorded that Jesus attended 3 funeral services. Whenever Jesus attends a funeral, he turns it into a celebration party. And he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And at the city of Nain, he raised the widow's son from the dead. And at Bethany, he resurrected Lazarus from death to life. Whenever Jesus is at the scene, something good happens. Hope is revived. Life is restored. Courage is infused, joy is injected, and love is experienced. Going back to the Ezekiel passage, nothing could be more gloomy, lifeless, and hopeless than these dry bones. And yet the Lord spoke and challenges the impossible. He asked Ezekiel, can this bone live again? In the natural, it is impossible to live. In the logical, this is beyond help. In the rational world, there is no hope. But here is the good news. When you bring God into the equation and picture, your present dire reality you see is not the finality. Your present reality is subject to change. Chaos can become order. Weakness can become strength. Death can become life. Defeat can become victory. And so the point is, with God, your present dire reality is never the finality. It is God who has the last word. And God likes to do the suddenly in the last hour. Sometimes in our life, we have pain and sorrow. We face despair and gloom. Today you may stand where Ezekiel stood. Your situation may seem hopeless and helpless. There seems to be no way out. You may say, I cannot deny the reality. My present dire situation is the present reality. I'm not saying you totally deny the present reality. It is wrong to live a life of denial. So what is the right approach? My second point is, admit your present reality, but do not focus on your dire situation. In Christ, there is always hope. In Christ, you are not crushed. You are not forsaken. So, for example, the Apostle Paul, a very dire situation in one part of his journey. And he did not give up hope in Christ. What did he say? Let me read to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to verse 10. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but they say, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but they say, not forsaken. He says, we are struck down, but not destroyed. He says, always carrying in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And life can come out of your dire situation. And before joy, there is pain. Before glory, there is suffering. Before what we call resurrection, there is a dying experience. So let us now discover some of other secrets of resurrection and rejuvenation from Ezekiel chapter 37. Apply this principle in Ezekiel 37, to rejuvenate the life of faith, God asked Ezekiel, can this dead bone live again? Ezekiel said, God, you know. God spoke some words and told Ezekiel to speak to the bones. And three times, God commands Ezekiel to prophesy. He said, prophesy to the bone, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the nation. Therefore, your resurrection miracle begins by a faith declaration of God's word. And so you ask, where do I start? First, you need to read and you need to hear more of God's word from the Bible here. And right now you are hearing God's word. It's being preached to you. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. He said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God has given us many powerful words from the Bible, not just for us to read and hear, not just for us to keep it inside, and we need to declare it when we encounter some situation. And get these powerful verses from the Bible and speak to your situation, to your dire situation. Thrive, faith thrive on declaring God's word. Your faith begins by declaring God's word. And your faith declaration will move your mountain. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Declaring God's word will ultimately overcome your enemy. And this is how we can live out the resurrection power of Christ. To do this, you have to change the way you talk. Stop saying, we will never recover from this. Never say never in God. Ezekiel changed his speech. So must we. God's words have power. The spoken words of God can create faith. Speak to the dry bone. Speak to the dire situation. Start declaring God's word by faith in the supernatural. Stop speaking doubt. Start speaking faith. And you have problems, some of you, I believe, declaring God's words in faith. You can be honest with God. Isn't there a scripture, a story in the Bible? And this man struggling with belief. And he said to God, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus helps him. And so after you declare, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Then start declaring. And so what do you do when you see the valley of dry bones? Don't focus on the dire situation. Start focusing on what God can do. Change your speech. Whatever you speak, get magnified in the mind and in your heart. Speak the problems and it will grow. You speak the difficulty more and it will increase. Speak God's word and faith will grow. And we need God's word to silence the negative. Speak faith to mute the doubt. Stop speaking naturally. Start speaking supernaturally. Stop speaking negatively. Start speaking positively. Stop speaking humanly. Start speaking heavenly. Stop speaking on what you see in the natural. You walk by faith, not by sight. For example, Jesus and his disciples were confronted with a storm. And the disciples were terrified by the storm. And Jesus spoke to the storm, peace be still. And the storm calmed down. Next, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. All they saw was death. And they gave up hope. But Jesus spoke forth, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was resurrected. And Jesus gave us instruction in Mark chapter 11. Speak to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Believe and doubt not, and it shall be done. And so in conclusion, remember, I know some of you are down, but you're not out. I declare that in Jesus' name, by his resurrection power, you can bounce back. Though things may be getting worse, continue to believe. Though things may not improve, do not give up. And though things may take some time, or it has taken some time already, keep believing and declaring God's word until you have the breakthrough. May Christ's resurrection power resurrect your health, relationship, finance, jobs, business, so that Christ is glorified. I pray that the Lord has challenged and encouraged you through this sermon. Today is Resurrection Sunday. I believe the anointing of resurrection is here. And therefore, as I release and speak this word of faith, it's going to be infused into your inner being. And that faith will arise. And you will rise up to be the overcomer in Jesus' name. Because the resurrection power, the anointing, rests upon you. Amen. The Lord bless you with this message. Amen. Can I invite the musicians?